If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you saying boo or boo-erns?
Boo!
I was saying boo-erns.
Show, and it's nearly week three. I've genuinely lost pace of where we are at this point. We are recording this podcast at 4 a.m. right now. There are 10 minutes left of Thursday night football, and it is one of the worst primetime games I have ever watched, and I watched the 49ers and Rams to open up the season. That's what we're talking about, plus all the previews and your tweets. This is the Gridiron Show. Welcome to the Gridiron Show. Will Gavin and Ollie Hunter in studio. How are you this fine morning, Ollie?
I'm a bit ill.
I don't like that.
Well, it's good that there's a glass of two glasses.
So why did you come in here and see me at the start?
I missed you. You are sat in the exact chair that Ed O'Brien sat in.
I am sat in the exact chair Ed O'Brien is sat in. That's why it's got the Virgin Radio UK thing. I've had a great week. I went out drinking last night and then have come in here to do this podcast at 4 a.m. So if it's a tad ropey, I apologise for that now. But I went and met my old LBC chums and had a whale of a time. So.
It's the same guys that you invited me out with the other time.
Yeah, same group, same crew, except there were only about three of us. But yeah, it was lovely.
Okay, great.
Yesterday, I hung out with Molly King from The Saturday and her dog. That was The Saturday, The Saturdays. It's with an S, isn't it? Ed O'Brien came into the studio after my show was done from Radiohead.
Oh, wait, Molly King and her dog.
The hot blonde one from The Saturdays. Basically, this is utterly ridiculous. So my wife, who... We are the right generation where The Saturdays were, like, popular when we were teenagers, I think. Otherwise, my wife's a bit sad. Or at least she is. She's a few years younger than me.
I'm telling you what, man. I think The Saturdays are a good three
pop
or
band.
4 years...
I think they're a good pop band.
After your time.
My time, maybe, but not Sarah's time. That's what I'm saying.
No, it was Sarah's time, not your time.
But my point is that...
What is your point?
Sarah, combined with the fact that she was a Saturdays fan, is also a complete Instagram saddo. Like, she's on Instagram almost as much as I'm on Twitter talking about the NFL.
Actually, you need to talk to her about Instagram. She's not great on her hashtag game.
But you're too much on your hashtag game. You hashtag too much, Ollie. You are like 18 hashtags on one Instagram and it's too much. No one actually searches hashtags on Instagram. That's not a thing.
It is a thing.
Nobody actually uses them. A good hashtag should just be something funny that you put on a tweet.
Listen, mate, you don't have to be mean.
So this is... Wait for it, because this is utterly ludicrous. My wife... She has shown me a picture of Molly King's dog on Instagram and gone, look how cute this dog is. So, yesterday, whilst at work, and the dog came in, and Molly King came in to do a thing for Virgin, I took a photo of Molly King's dog with me, and I went, big name from the world of popping today, can you guess who it is from their dog? She must have tweeted me, text me back, considering she was at work, within about 15 seconds going, Molly King, obviously. Utterly ridiculous.
Live checking what Molly King's dog looks. Oh, it's a cockapoodle.
It's tiny.
A cockapoo.
Ed O'Brien came in from Radiohead to do it. He's done like an hour long interview with Edith Bowman that's really, really good. And I was sat in my studio. I'd just finished my show. I was actually going to cheekily watch Mr. Robot whilst I was at work and do it, but in my studio so none of the bosses could see. And it was the finale and I wanted to watch it. And I looked up and I saw Ed O'Brien walk past and I was like, is that Ed O'Brien from Radiohead?
She really is a beautiful woman, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Sorry.
Obviously I went to see Radiohead in Berlin a couple of weeks ago. They're my favourite band. So I just snuck into the studio where you're sat there and I went and chatted to the guy and I was like, oh, look, came to see Redhead in Berlin a couple of weeks ago. Would you mind if I came in and sat in on the interview, just sat at the back there? And the guy was like, yeah, yeah, that's fine, but it's nothing to do with me. And it ends up this guy was there. He's their PR manager, and he has been working with the band since they were on a Friday in, like, 1985. So I kind of quietly picked his brains a little bit while they set up the interview. But then once the interview started, he obviously wanted to listen over it and, you know, see what he was saying. And ended up as Ed O'Brien's first interview for 5 years, and it was brilliant. It was so much fun. And they're going to do more dates next year, which is very exciting. So, I had a whale of a time. Combine that with
Can I just ask you? You were quiet for an hour.
Nearly an hour, yeah.
Wow.
I think I said a couple of things.
That's glorious.
Great punt. The one thing I will say for Thursday night football is the quality of the punting has been excellent.
You're such a British American football fan.
Jacoby Brissett has only
gone those kickings.
Jacoby Brissett has only got 103 yards through the air. They have had short field on two separate occasions, thanks to not muffed punts, but fumbled punt or kickoff returns. It's just been the ugliest game of football. The Patriots, admittedly, have been really impressive, and when you consider that, yes, they have had to go in there with a guy who's only taken snaps in the NFL in the second half of that game last weekend, and they've schemed brilliantly for the Texans' defense. They've run lots of stunts, they've run lots of like sweeps with Edelman, they've done so many things to knock the likes of JJ Watt off their game, put pressure on them. They've looked great defensively as well. It's been a great performance from the Patriots, but as a neutral fan, it's been an ugly, horrendous game of football to watch. I mean, we're currently watching with 6 minutes left. Brock Osweiler pinned back in his own end zone due to the quality of that punting from Ryan Allen. And he's having to throw the ball away. It's a complete mess. It's an utter mess. He's 20 of 33, 172 yards and an interception. LeGarrette Blount's having a day on the ground, 102 yards, two touchdowns. Compare that with Lamar Miller's. Yeah, he's on just over 3 yards an attempt at the moment. And I don't think actually Lamar Miller's run badly today. He's caught a couple of good passes
read too much into Lamar Miller's form. I think what you do have to look at, there he goes, he gets done again.
Made, 7 or 8 yards on that. But
you can't read too much into that. I think what you can read into is how good the Patriots' defense is, how bad Brock Osweiler looks, and how bad the offense as a whole, and the lack of ideas that Bill O'Brien has.
Which is amazing, because Bill O'Brien, actually, if you look at the way they've played over the last 2 years, has been offensively very clever. And they did come out the first drive in the second half. They came out and had a really good drive. And you're thinking, yeah, they're moving it here. This could be half decent. And then they go 3 and out just outside of field goal range, and it completely ruins it. And I just... The Patriots are playing this kind of bend, don't break defense where they're allowing to give up short yards. I mean, the tight end Griffin must be on 7 or 8 catches at this point, but is well under the 50-yard mark because he's just being allowed these little 5-6-yard completions, let them make up the little gains. There was a point when... It's been one of those weird games that's been about field position. I mentioned the punting, but there was a point in the first half when the score was 10-0. Oh, they should have... Tip drill. Where's your tip drill, boys? Should have picked that one off. There was a point in the first half where the Patriots were 3-15 on around about their own 10, their own 15. And you just think, right, get a stop here. The punt can't get past much past your own 40. Good field position. You'll be all right. Yeah. They gave up a 16-yard gain to Danny Amendola, where their safeties and their corners sat too deep trying to cover the big play. They brought the house beyond that. Jacoby Brissett got the ball out quickly, and Amendola just split the corner and the safety and just about made the gain. And it was just the most frustrating play to watch, again, as a neutral, because you're just going, well, that's almost game done there and then. By the way, the Patriots, when they win now, because they have already won, technically.
Well, they've won by people who have listened
to
this.
Yes, exactly. Right? Half time.
Yeah.
They will be 77-0.
Whoa.
They have never lost a game at Foxborough if they have a half-time lead.
That's insane, isn't it?
It's almost like I should have just turned this off at half-time when they were 10-0 up.
You could have caught a couple more rounds of Zeds.
Exactly. But I didn't, and there we go.
But that's what you do for this show. I like that word, Gavin.
Do you know the other reason that I've had a great week this week?
No.
Because the other morning, I was just sat, chilling, enjoying, it's kind of 7, 8 in the morning, getting on my work. I think it's a little 20 minutes I have off in the middle of the show.
Sure, yeah.
And I get a text message from my mate Sam, who's moved to Malaysia. And he used to work at LBC with me. Beautiful girlfriend. Lovely man.
But what's his surname?
I was trying to remember the other day, because the problem is he's now on Facebook. He's done that thing where he uses like his middle name instead of his surname, so you're not searchable on Facebook. Lovell, Sam Lovell. There we go, I just remembered it. Sam sent me a message and just went, look who's just popped up on my TV, and sent me a picture of the Food Network, one of the very few English channels that they have in Malaysia. And who should be there but Ollie Hunter on Street Eat from what must have been, what, 7 years ago?
Seven, eight years ago,
with longish hair, but still already thinning a little bit on top.
I've always been like that, mate.
An oversized suit jacket, but with a backpack on with it, reviewing a burrito in the middle of the street. It was glorious. I have literally shown that photo to everyone that knows you in any way, shape, or even people like Mike from LBC, who's met you like once. I'm like, have you seen this?
No, we've met loads of times, me and Mike. The amazing thing is, I don't really remember this Sam. So how he spotted that, you know, years and years later. I did like, I don't know, I did quite a few shifts at LBC, but I was just a grunt. I don't remember him. This is weird. It's really weird. The other amazing thing is, a friend of mine in Mexico about 2 years ago watched the same episode and did exactly the same thing.
Amazing. It is genuinely brilliant. Go to @WillGav if you want to see that photo, because it's incredible. Should we get to the right, because we're on a bit of a short leash here today, because you're actually in the middle of your real job.
Yeah, I am. Don't tell the bosses. Using their equipment whilst I'm being paid to be doing something else.
Love it. Absolutely love
incredible.
It. Incredible. So, what I think we should do, let's start looking forward to the Sunday games. We've got a load of tweets in as well, and we'll go through the news as we touch on the games. For example, we still haven't talked about the fact that the Bills fired Greg Roman. It's funny that, isn't it?
Yeah. So
let's pick out a few of the games we really like. And if we don't have time to get to all of the games, I will do a little rap later. We'll also have Fantasy Darlings. People loved that last week. So Neil Dutton is back with a bit of Fantasy Darlings. And we'll answer your Twitter questions as well. We've had a fair few of those in. I almost kind of feel like we should go through the Twitter questions first.
Do you know what? We always leave them to the last, and then you don't do them, and we've let people down. Let's do the Twitter questions first.
Neil Dutton, of Fancy Darling fame, says, what will we see more, QBs for the Browns or losses for the Patriots? It is ridiculous that when Cody Kessler starts for the Browns this weekend, it will be their fifth starting QB in 5 consecutive games. That's genuinely ludicrous. On the same theme, Cal message saying, if the Browns had drafted Wentz, would he have fallen down a well by now? This is obviously a reference to the fact that Corey Coleman has broken his hand in training. And if you want an example of why we all should have known LeGarrette Blount was going to go off today, and by the way, he's about to carry it for a third touchdown, I reckon, here.
Do you think LeGarrette Blount will have more yards on the ground than Jacoby Brissett?
He does at the moment, and I can't imagine that Jacoby Brissett is going to start throwing it around. He got two 20-yard gains on the ground himself, including the touchdown, so you've got to give him some love for that. If we did combined, maybe he wouldn't. But if you wanted an example of why he was going to go off today, I have one league where I have Keenan Allen, Dante Moncrief, Corey Coleman out for the season, 4 to 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks. Don't do the sad music. I'm not looking. I can see you scheming in there. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just saying. So I had to trade away. I've got like 5 startable running backs in that league, so I had to trade away one of them. I traded away LeGarrette Blount for Jordan Matthews, who I like a lot this year, and he scored 2 touchdowns and got over 100 yards like 3 hours later.
What's the betting Jordan Matthews is going to go down this
week? If he goes down this weekend, I'm quitting that league immediately. I'm just going to resign.
But dude, that's our live league.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm gone. I'm done. Sam Quick can take my place.
Yeah, okay. I think everybody would be on board with that.
People have loved that interview, by the way. Like, loads of love for Samantha Quick. She was fantastic. Brilliant. Bobby has sent us. I'm pretty sure that he made this list himself on his notepad feature on like the iPad or something, and sent it to us saying, will the week 3 list of QBs be the worst / most unusual of all time?
Okay.
Right. I'm going to run down it really quickly
yeah.
and see what you think. Rogers, great bat out of form. He's done it by division. Rogers, great bat out of form. Hoyer, sharp mark two. Bradford, made of glass. Stafford, inconsistent. Manning, good, if you like that sort of thing. Dak Prescott, good, but inexperienced. Wentz, see above. Cousins, you like that? Nope. Breeze, quality. Newton, quality. Ryan, yeah, we'll just about do as a franchise QB. Winston, if he wasn't a world-class athlete, would be in prison for multiple sex offences. Hashtag allegedly.
I'd like to say that we also have hashtagged that as allegedly.
NFC West.
This is great, by the way.
Wilson injured. Palmer good. Gabbert shite. Keenum shite. AFC North. Big Ben quality.
Should we be bleeping that for our non-Irish listeners?
Who knows?
Okay, carry on.
Big Ben quality. Flacco franchise QB. Dalton, underrated franchise QB. Miscellaneous Browns quarterback, whatever. AFC Brisket. Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark.
Brisket. I love that everyone's calling him Brisket. It's incredible.
Tannehill, hot wife. Fitzpatrick, good, but he loves an interception. Tara Taylor, good, but loves an interception and has a terrible coach. AFC South, Luck, out of form. Brock, looks good, but inexperienced. Bortles, no, he doesn't. Not tonight. You haven't seen this nonsense. Bortles looks good so far. Not looking good so far this year. Mariota, promising, but inconsistent. And finally, the AFC West. Simeon, looks all right, but inconsistent. Rivers, quality. He is a San Diego Chargers fan. Smith, good, if you like that sort of thing. Carr, promising, but very inconsistent. I love that list. Well done. Sorry. Basically, what you're saying is there's probably only about five good QBs in the league this
week. And he... I completely zoned out when he said Tannehill, hot wife. I had to Google. And
how have you not seen... You watched that series of Hard Knocks, didn't you?
Nope.
I was hoping you'd answer with more than nope, so I'd have time to take a sip.
No,
of
I did not watch
it.
And she's a very attractive lady. Well done, Ryan Tannehill.
Liam Cleal asks, will the Seahawks' offensive line cost them a chance of getting to the Super Bowl? Yes.
Well, I'd like to refer everyone to the last episode of the Gridiron Show, where I had a mini rant about offensive lines. And I think I'm right.
We had somebody else got in touch literally saying to us why, literally asking us that very thing. Why is it that D-line play is looking really strong this week? Oh, look, it's another punt. What a shock.
Can I just ask you on this? We've got 1:25 left. Oh, fake punt. They're going fake punt. This is live fake punt. They've not fake punting. They've just switched to a throwing formation. Who's going to throw the ball here?
They were trying to draw them offside.
They drew me offside. Wow.
They actually got a flag, but I don't know. Oh, it was against New England for the delay of game. They were accepting the 5 yards.
Houston have got a bagel at the moment. Will they try and rectify that, or will they just take a knee, take the loss with a bagel?
Probably take the loss at this point.
Yeah, this would be their first shutout since 2003, when they were shut out against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's a sad day, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher is only 8 losses from equaling the record for a head coach, 165. How certain are you that it will happen this season? Robert Kopp, I had to put my house on one thing this season...
That's on the 2-yard line.
Wow. This is quite the thing, actually. With these two kickoff returns, the NFL was like, yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to make touchbacks 25 yards. Like, you start on the 25 instead of the 20. That way, we won't see as many returns because teams won't want to return it because it'll be more of a risk that they won't make it out to the 25. But all you're seeing, and you saw it brilliantly today from the Patriots, is that teams will just either squib it or kick it short. And actually, and there was thank you, Jay Feely of CBS, the number of touchbacks has gone down from 67% of kicks last year to closer to 50% this year. And there are more and more returns happening because teams are savvy to the fact that there's no advantage in getting a touchback anymore. So, ridiculous. I said that had happened about 7 or 8 months ago when they first announced that rule, and it's very rare that I'm this right. But
they should have done it the other way. They should have gone to 15 so people are forced to run it out more often.
There we go. But that's what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to make it safe. What they should have done is just kept it at the 20 because it was working.
Thanks, buddy.
Joe Russell, after a 2-0 start, do you think the Eagles can make the playoffs with Wentz? I think they're in the NFC East and they're 2-0, so yes, they can make the playoff with Wentz.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Come on, mate. Start disagreeing a little bit.
They're not going to make it. They're a terrible team. I think the Giants will come out of that division. Eagles may go 9-7. There will be other teams that are that will be better throughout the NFC. And as such, thus, ergo, the Eagles will fall out of place. And it's over in Foxborough. It is a bagel. You're a disgrace, Bill O'Brien. You've let everyone down.
You leave Bill O'Brien.
Well, just because of the Penn State love. All right, I have that love too, but that's not the point.
Robert Kopp again gets in touch saying,
Robert Kopp, what
will happen to the Browns next to further Browns up their season? I think it's got to be Isaiah Crowell going down next, right? He looked so good the first 2 weeks.
I think Hugh Jackson will go down.
God, that's a horrible thought.
Yeah, but that's really Brownsy. He's going to do something. Like
he said, I'm not blinking when he was asked about all the Browns' problems this year. So I think they knew it was going to be a terrible year, and just all these extra things have just piled it on top. Which of the eight teams are... That's too specific, Jim McKinnon. I can't figure that one out. He's gone, which of the eight teams on 0-2 will be 0-3 come the end of week three? Maybe both the teams coming to London? The Colts and Jags both lose. We're going to get 2-0-3 teams coming to London.
It's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. Da Bears Inc. Oh, yeah. The other thing Robert asked was who'll be the last undefeated team this year? I haven't looked at the schedule, so I don't want to. We normally do that around week four when we look at the 4-0 teams. But I was going to say the Patriots just off the back of this dominant win tonight. Plus, they go against the Bills and the Browns up next. But then they've got the Bengals and the Steelers, and you can imagine them losing one of those. So, you know, they could be like. Oh no, you're going to be 6-1 or 7-1. Poor you. Whereas there could be a team that gets to like 8-0 this year. We'll do that later in the year. I don't even know why I've touched it. Sorry.
okay.
Ed says, Da Bears in contention for the first overall pick? Weren't they your pick for the first overall pick, Ollie?
Yes. I think it might have been the Ravens, and then I quickly changed that. I think, it could be the... On this rate, it could be Houston. I don't know. It's
not going to be Houston.
They're an awful lot.
I think Houston will still win the AFC South. And they've just gone in and played an incredibly well-coached team on a short week and got their asses handed to them. But I think they'll still win that division. And finally, Rob Cranmer, can you recommend any good NFL books?
Well, this sounds familiar.
Yeah, this is. I can recommend you go and listen to the podcast of the All American Sports Show. And
it's the NFL show with Nat Coombs, of which I am the producer of. There's a ton of books mentioned in there. I am currently reading a book called Paper Lion by Walter Plimpton, who back in the 60s and 70s, I think it was around that time, he decided to. He'd written a piece about being with an MLB team. So he wrote off to a load of NFL sides and said, can I come and be on practice with you guys? Be a football player. I did a bit of football in college. I'm nowhere near good enough, but I'm a journalist. I want to get embedded with you guys. And so he did. And the Lions were the only one that returned to him and took him on. And it's an absolutely fascinating book about what it's like to be a pro footballer, written by a proper journalist back, you know, 30, 40 years ago. I couldn't recommend it any more, even though it is about the Lions. Walter Plimpton, Paper Lion.
I'm going to say Paul Zimmerman, Dr. Z, A Thinking Man's Guide to Pro Football. It's an older book, the second edition, 1984. I've not gone back and read the first edition because I'm not that sad. But he is a guy, he's a Pro Football Writers Association, kind of Hall of Fame level guy. One of the very first men to really look at football from an X's and O's standpoint when writing as a beat writer. But that don't let you that think that this collection of his works will be boring and the sort of thing you don't want to read about teams from the 70s and 80s about their X's and O's. But actually, it's full of great stories and great anecdotes of those brilliant teams of the 70s and 80s as well. And he's one of the all-time great football writers, and it is well worth a read. So there you go. Two books.
Cool. Off the cuff. Well done, son.
we did. I literally, that is just because that's what I recommended when I came on the All American Sports Show with Nat Coombs. I figure I can recommend the same book again. We've not necessarily got the entire same listenership. Like 90%, but you know.
No, I don't think they ever asked me. They never ask me. That's because I'm too busy doing other stuff whilst it's been recording. Whoa, pulling back the curtain.
Right, should we talk about this week's games? I want to know what you're doing in there because you're fandangling and I'm confused by all the running around.
Just a sec.
Right, while Ollie's doing his actual job, I'm going to pick out a couple of the games that I really like from this week. Now, I've got to say, and I don't want to, slag off anyone too much here, or I don't know what the reasons are. In fact, I understand the reasons. We talked about this on Monday, actually, but Washington, New York as your game on TV, what are you thinking, Sky? That is a terrible, terrible choice. What have they got? I actually don't know what they've gone for the late game. I really hope they've gone Steelers-Eagles.
It is Steelers-Eagles, yeah.
Good. Or, like, Jets-Chiefs would have been fine as well. Heck, I'd even have taken Chargers-Colts. But, I did not want to watch the 49ers in full against the Seattle Seahawks because that's not going to be fun for anyone. Hey, Seahawks fans, you know you need that bounce-back win after your offense has only scored 15 points in the last 2 weeks. Guess who's coming to town?
Yeah, but
Christmas has come early!
The 49ers offense had looked okay the last couple of games.
No, Blaine Gabbert is dreadful. They had two good drives against the Panthers and they had it close in the fourth quarter, which was amazing. But then the Panthers just like went, oh, we can go into second gear and we'll be fine here. You know, it wasn't a great performance. Yes, we played well against the Rams, but it was a terrible, stinky Rams team. So pick of the 6 o'clock games, I love the Minnesota Vikings at the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Minnesota Vikings, of course, Teddy Bridgewater out, and now Adrian Peterson out for, what, 2, 3, 4 months, unknown amount of time.
Probably the rest of the season.
Yeah, probably the rest of the season. Is that him done in Minnesota? He could very well be, but who's going to take him?
Yeah, I think the age thing and the injury is a problem. I don't know how long he's got left on his contract. Is he already extended beyond this year? I'm just going to find that out whilst I filibuster.
Yeah, I don't know. The way Sam Bradford, and I know you did a piece for a Tuesday morning touchdown for the Gridiron magazine.
So sorry, just to confirm, he is contracted through next season as well. So I think he probably stays there that extra year, tries to get out onto the field next year and do some stuff for the Vikings. I don't think they could cut him. It looks like a relatively team friendly cut. They'd have lose a bit of cap space, but I kind of feel like the team would, new stadium, particularly if they do well this year, roll out the big name for one last final few games, maybe. I think they're sentimental, Minnesota.
And pick up Christian McCaffrey in the draft. The new running back there.
Oof. Love Christian McCaffrey. Right, carry on. Sorry.
I love Christian McCaffrey. Sam Bradford, can he do it again against this Carolina defense, who have looked kind of porous, actually, the first couple of games? Can he do it again?
No. Basically,
I think it was a fluke.
I don't think it was a fluke. I genuinely think Sam Bradford fits this offense better than Teddy Bridgewater does. Teddy Bridgewater cannot throw the ball downfield in any consistent way that I have seen. He's got far too flat of a delivery. Greg Cosell described it to us is it's like he's carrying a dinner plate the way that he throws the ball. And so Sam Bradford has a much wider range of throws. He made two or three really good deep passes, but he also found the guys in the short and the flat. They also picked up a few yards on the ground from Asiata as well. It's interesting in this game because you've got two running backs down, because Jonathan Stewart's out for 2 to 3 weeks as well. So you've got a bunch of people who have been picked up by everyone and anyone in fantasy leagues. Well, Asiata against McKinnon, and then Fozzy Whitaker against Cameron Artis Payne. And with both teams, you've got a young guy who we've heard the team really like a lot but has never shown it on the field, and a slightly older head who you would never trust to put the ball in, you never trust to carry your team for a whole season, but maybe for one or two games might do it. I think that what the Vikings have is a more workable situation. If Jerick McKinnon can come out and be the first and second down back and be the one who can gash the yards up the middle and get those yards in between the 20s, and then you bring Matt Asiata in the red zone to punch the ball in, the short yardage back, the third down back, that sort of thing. Whereas Fozzie Whitaker, I know, had a huge game last week when he came in for Stewart, but it was against the terrible 49ers.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's that great a talent, Fozzie Whitaker. I do really like Cameron Artis Payne in theory, but again, never seen it on the field. I do like Sam Bradford. I actually think what I saw from him on Monday makes me believe they can still go to the playoffs. But going to Carolina, a team who didn't get to prove it against the Broncos. We'll want to prove it against a good defense. I think that this could be a big Carolina win.
I don't think it's going to be big. I think it'll be 10 to 14 points, but I'm going Carolina as well. Loving what Cam Newton's doing with Kelvin Benjamin, with Greg Olsen. Devin Funchess is getting some touchdowns. Fozzie Whitaker was active through the air as well as on the ground as well. So, and you cannot deny that defense. Actually, the game could end up being a tale of two defenses, and I love the Minnesota Vikings defense. So I'm still going Carolina Panthers.
The Denver Broncos traveling to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Broncos sitting at 2-0, Cincinnati at 1-1. Cincinnati obviously had that really tough game in Pittsburgh last week in the pouring rain. Couldn't get Jeremy Hill really going there. Couldn't really get anything going hugely on offense. I'm still well aboard the Bengals bandwagon. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have been better than I expected to be in the early part of the year without those weapons there. But, well, we'll get to the Steelers in a moment when we talk about their game. But looking at this one, I think if the Bengals need to make a statement about the fact they are still a playoff-worthy team and a team worth talking about being maybe in the AFC Championship game, that sort of level, then these are the kind of games they need to win at home. I like what I've seen from Trevor Siemian overall. I don't think he's been brilliant, but I think he has offered exactly what that team need with a great defense and a great running game. This week could be rough for him. I quite like the Bengals to take apart Denver. I think they've got a better run defense than Denver have faced so far, and I'm going for the Cincinnati Bengals at home.
No, I am going the Bengals, but their rush defense average yards ranking is 32nd in the whole of the NFL. Okay, they did come up against Matt Forte in the first game. Who ran all over them?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that purely on yardage?
Just on yardage.
I don't remember Forte having that many yards, but I remember having a lot of touchdowns in week two.
He had an awful lot of yards in that first game.
Oh, really? I do not remember. But then again, I was away, wasn't I?
And so. Then D'Angelo Williams had a very good game against them last week.
And again, Steelers are up, wet field, difficult.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of these teams, and I think the next game we'll talk about will be the Battle of Pennsylvania, who there may be a bit of a mirage at the moment. We still, through two games, don't really know what they are because of the quality of the opposition that they faced and because of the situations they've played in. Because, okay, we're both taking the Bengals in that one, but Steelers going to the Eagles. You've got Carson Wentz, who's looked phenomenal through 2 weeks, but against the Bears and the Browns, and the Bears are much worse than I thought they were going to be this year. And then you've got the Steelers, who came up against a Washington team who really don't look like they know what they are on defense. They were a great run defense last year. Mm. That's completely gone from their game. The secondary is not playing well, considering Josh Norman is actually playing well on his side of the field. And people are slanging off Josh Norman for not moving with the number one receiver. That's not what his assignment is there. And he has been brilliant where he's been sat. But Breshad Breeland, who I like as a corner, I actually don't think he's that much worse than Josh Norman, has had a really rough year so far. And they look poor at safety. So the Steelers had a relatively easy game week one and then won a tight, muddy, messy game last week. I want to see, what they actually look like when they go against a really good offense. I want to see what that secondary looks like. I want to see whether Ryan Shazier can still cover in those situations. And I'm not suggesting the Eagles are that great an offense, but they're certainly better than what they've faced so far based on condition and opposition.
Okay, so you've transcended to a different you've traversed, I should say, to a different game to the one we were discussing.
No, we both said Bengals, so I moved on.
Okay, Bengals. That's fine.
I'm aware it needs to be a quick pod this week, Ollie.
Just to go back to the Bengals, AJ Green, I expect him to be targeted heavily, especially in the red zone, because he's just had a birth of his first son. Eastern Ace.
So they are. You're basing it purely on the fact that Andy Dalton's a sentimental old bastard and will want to get him a touchdown so he can do a baby celebration.
Exactly. with a baby-sized football. So that's going to happen. I've gone Bengals and Pittsburgh as well.
I have taken Pittsburgh, but what I do like in this game is the Eagles out of the backfield. I think Darren Sproles is in for quite a big game today. I think Ryan Matthews could have a good game as well.
Is that why you picked up Darren Sproles in fantasy?
I did pick up Darren Sproles in fantasy.
I am not believing it.
In place of Danny Woodhead. I've picked up Danny Woodhead Mark II in place of Danny Woodhead.
I believe you've picked up Darren Sproles. I don't believe in his productivity. I know he got a load more touches last week, but I just don't think he's that good.
He's my flex option. Darren Sproles is a great footballer.
Oh, he's a great footballer, brilliant returner, but I don't think he's a three-down back guy.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. I think this week you could see Carson Wentz turn into Captain Checkdown, and you know who Captain Checkdown passes to? He's out the back of the field running back.
Okay, fine. Another great game. I love the look of this one. It's in Arrowhead. Sam Quicks, Kansas City Chiefs, welcome the New York Jets.
Yeah, this is one of the late games,
Well, you went to the late game. Why can't I go to the late game?
I wasn't saying that. I was just saying when it was. Feisty at 4:30 in the morning, Ollie Hunter. I like it.
Listen, I've been up a long time.
These are 2-1-1 teams who, I think we do know what the Jets are already. And I think that they came up against a very good team in the Bengals in week one. And then in week two, I don't know what their defense were doing on those long passes from Tyrod Taylor. But actually, if you take away a couple of blown coverages on those long plays, they've looked much, much better than any other opposition in the AFC East. Obviously, I'm not saying they're better than the Patriots, but I think the Jets could go and give Kansas City some real problems after the Chiefs' offense really struggled against the Texans last week.
I can't say it any better than this. And this has come from the horse's mouth, Todd Bowles. They're a hard-nosed, tough and physical on both sides of the ball. They've got playmakers on the outside, ball hawks at the corners, a tough safety, strong, fast linebackers. They have a slew of running backs, a great tight end, a great receiver, and a quarterback who's very good. White flagging? Well done, Bolsey.
Brilliant. The Jets, we've talked about this a few times, but the Jets' schedule beyond this game, well, including this game, actually, is pretty rough going forward. They got the Seahawks next week, then at the Steelers, at the Cardinals, home to the Ravens, their next four games after this. So desperate for a win if they're to stay in any kind of playoff contention. I am, however, in the words of... I forget who does this. It might be... who even cares?
Excuse me.
I'm saying roll the chop, buddy. Chiefs are only 3-point favourites, and I think that's about right. I think it's going to be a tight,
so
reasonably low-scoring game. Like, I'm talking like a 21-17 type win, but I'm going to take the home team.
I'm taking the home team.
Going home team mental this
week.
I'm
going home team crazy, but I'm going for a big game. It's going to be like 36-30, something like that. It's going to be a great game. This is the game that they should have had on Sky. What are you doing to a Sky?
Do you want to know one game where I am taking the road team?
I do want to know, yes.
And there's another one where you can line up some music for it. I want to see if you know which one I'm talking
about. Okay, wait. It's none of the ones that I've got, so I'm going to say... Okay. Is it this? And you're ludicrous if it's this.
Let's grab it. Of course it's not that. Are you mental? Come on. Okay. We only have music specific to like three different teams.
I know.
So come on. You've got to get it from now. There's only one more team it could possibly be.
I don't know who it is.
Oh, come on.
Wait, these guys aren't on the road. Damn, Titans,
damn. No, they're not.
But so we've got music for them.
And we've got music for one more team.
But we've already done... These guys.
No! Come on, Ollie!
Who is it? I don't know who it is. Ah! Is it these guys? T- tell us why you're taking these guys.
The San Diego Chargers are going to go into Indianapolis this week and hand the Indianapolis Colts an ass-whooping. Melvin Gordon has nearly 200 yards. I would be like a terrible music DJ. I was all over crashing those vocals then. Melvin Gordon has nearly 200 yards from scrimmage and 3 touchdowns already this season. Do you know what the Colts' run defense looks like so far?
No.
391 yards conceded on the ground through 2 games. 5 touchdowns conceded on the ground through 2 games. They are doing exactly what they did in the Peyton Manning days, which is let's get a good quarterback and some decent receivers and hope that that can carry our entire team. And yes, eventually it carried Peyton Manning to 1 Super Bowl, but I think this Colts team are even worse than we thought they were going into the year. And I already had them going 500. I think they're going to go below 500. Everyone's going to be fired from that front office. And finally, Andrew Luck might get the service he deserves. I think we've got another team coming to London. The Chargers go into the Colts and win.
All right, I've gone Colts.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay. I've gone super home heavy.
Yeah, you've really, like, I've gone pretty home heavy, but that's super heavy.
I mean, super home heavy.
Right, I know you found the music now, but we can probably cut it off at this point.
All right, there we go.
I know that they are without a billion and one weapons, but you know what really impressed me last week is the work that the likes of Travis Benjamin got, that Tyrell Williams got. Phillip Rivers likes to spread the ball around. Sadly, he's never really had a true number one receiver. Antonio Gates has been his equivalent of a number one receiver. He finally gets one in Keenan Allen, and he suffers a couple of big injuries in his first 3-4 years in the league. So, sorry, Philip, but I think you win this week. So, there's some positives.
Well done, Philip.
What about the battle of the NFC North? The Detroit Lions going to the Green Bay Packers. Are you worried, Ollie Hunter?
Nah.
Because your Green Bay offense looks flipping dreadful.
The Lions will be more like...
Turn that off now.
They'll be more like little pussycats because we're back in Lambeau, baby, and we will be... firing on all cylinders. I fully believe Eddie, James Starks, Devontae Adams, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and number 12, franchise himself, we shall rule
Tom Brady.
Supreme.
You signed Tom Brady. Mark that. look, I have taken the Packers for this, but I did. So I did DraftKings again yesterday, and I'll post the YouTube videos and stuff. We sit around and we do some predictions for the games, pick our lineups, etc. And I took the Packers, but the Packers are 7-point favourites here. And I think that if you were a betting man, and I am, I would take the Lions with the 7 points because I think this is going to be a lot tighter than that. The Lions have somehow managed to put together a half-decent defense even without having, I think, about 15 linebackers. They've got less linebackers than the Colts have got cornerbacks at this point.
I'm not having they've got a half-decent defense.
They've not got Ziggy Ansah.
They were poor against the Colts and the Titans are rubbish offensively, so I don't know how you can say
the Titans aren't rubbish offensively. Marcus Mariota is a player.
He hasn't hit his straps yet.
I'm taking Green Bay, but I think it's going to be tighter than people think.
It's a blowout, 41-10, Green Bay.
Right, what other games have we got this week? Because I kind of only opened those ones, but we've probably got about 5 more minutes before you have to bugger off.
I kind of have to go pretty sharpish. What about the Arizona Cardinals going to Buffalo?
Cardinals win easy.
Yeah, I've got a road win for the Cardinals.
Just to say with that one, we haven't mentioned it, but Greg Roman, what on earth is that all about? Seriously, you like, on so many levels, I hate this move. I hate it because he wasn't the problem last week. They looked good on the ground and through the air. The defense is a mess, but he can't sack his brother Rob. And more than anything else, Rex, you've fired your scapegoat way too early. You've gone in week 2. You've got a terrible schedule ahead of you. Wait until you go like 0-5, 0-6, then fire your scapegoat and go, right, we're going to be fine now. And then if you win 4 or 5 games because your schedule gets a lot friggin' easier at that point, you look like a genius. Instead, you've fired your offensive coordinator, who you know I don't like, Greg Roman, and then you've gone on another 3 or 4 game losing streak. You look like an idiot. I've lost all faith in Rex Ryan. I didn't have a lot of faith in him already.
Was that trio your most hated trio, you know, cumulatively in the NFL?
As a head coach, coordinator trio, absolutely.
Wow.
Hands down. Hands down.
What other game would you like to look at, Will Gavin?
Look, what we'll do, Ollie, is there anything else you'd like to add to the podcast before we
Well, do you know what? I do have a prereq at 5:15. Is that possible?
Well, no, all I'm suggesting is I'll sit here and run through the last of the games. Do you want to quickly pause this, note your picks down for me, and I'll just go through the rest of the games, and at least then, and then I'll throw to Fancy Darlings, and we'll get out. At least then we've done a bit of analysis on these games.
Cause yeah, sure. I've only got all of my other picks are home teams. Apart from the Falcons.
So the Falcons is the only road team you've taken beyond
Falcons,
this.
Steelers, Cardinals, Texans, and that worked out well.
You took the Titans.
I took the Titans over the Raiders, yeah.
Okay, yeah, fine.
All of the rest home teams.
Jags over Ravens.
Yeah, Jags over Ravens. Giants over Washington. Tampa Bay over the Rams. Seattle over the Niners.
What? You're crazy.
Dallas over the Bears. It's not crazy to pick all of those home teams.
No, I was making a joke about the idea you were picking Seattle over San Francisco. Fine, okay. Look, Ollie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, mate.
Briefly.
I'll speak to you on Sunday morning.
Will you? Oh, are you coming on?
I've been booked.
Amazing. I did say to them I didn't want you, but they said it's much easier to book you, so... You turn those cats off now, Ollie Hunter. No. How long does this go on for? How long? No. Ollie, come back. Turn those cats off. He's actually genuinely pissed. Have you left your mic on as well? Oh, it's so horrible. I hate it. I hate it. Turn it off. The problem is it sounds like the cat is being, like, interfered with. Oh, God. I did want you, Ollie.
Buddy.
What it means is that Ollie is... I'm doing TalkSport on Sunday morning between midnight and 6 a.m. and we're going to do a half an hour NFL slot, whether they like it or not. And Ollie is going to come on the phone or Skype or whatever, and we're going to do basically what we've just done here, but on national radio. We might as well just play this out, Ollie, rather than you getting up at 4 a.m. or whatever time we said we were going to do it. Are you, I thought you were coming.
Leave the cat bit in.
Yeah, just not leave the cat bit in. No, I don't know whether you were on air or just chatting in my ear at that point. But so, just a quick run through the rest of the games this weekend. Then we mentioned already: Cardinals at Bills, Cardinals at 1-1, Bills at 0-2. I kind of gave the Bills a little too much love on offense there. Greg Roman wasn't that brilliant. Tyrod Taylor got the two huge deep completions, which made all the difference. But those plays he ran with EJ Manuel when he came out were truly, truly dreadful. The Arizona Cardinals, Carson Palmer, I thought looked brilliant the other night. Their defense ball hawking in that big win over Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay are a very up and down team, and I think you're going to see a lot of that from them this season. So I've taken the Cardinals, as has Ollie. We've both taken the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the LA Rams. That's one of the late games on Sunday. I just think the Bucs, when you get them at home and they can ease into that offense, I actually think the Rams. Their defense, okay, they've held the Seahawks to 3 points, but it was a bad Seahawks team with a banged up quarterback who was, Case Keenum isn't great. Todd Gurley is struggling on the ground, and the Buccaneers have got big, big receivers who will have no problem catching the ball over the likes of LaMarcus Joyner. So expect a big day out of the likes of Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, Cameron Brate, Austin Seferian, Jenkins. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could blow out the Rams in a big, big way. Oh, the poor Browns going to the Miami Dolphins. If you're playing weekly fantasy this week and you're not picking the Miami Dolphins defense, I don't know what you're doing with your life. They're $3,000 on DraftKings, and the Browns are going to turn the ball over. I actually think Ryan Tannehill could have a really good week this week because he's going to keep being offered a huge amount of short field, and also, you know, Jay Ajayi filling in for Arian Foster, Kenyon Drake coming in as well. You might see the Miami Dolphins score a lot of points this week without picking up a lot of actual yards, because I can see short field being given to them. I can see, you know, Cleveland having to punt the ball away a lot and Dolphins being able to get it at their own half. It's just going to be, I think this could be a real, real mess. And what a shame not only to see two quarterbacks go down, but Corey Coleman as well. Brilliant last week. He's already got 173 yards through the air this season, two touchdowns, including that 58-yard bomb, which I think was the play on which Josh McCown was injured. I do feel really sorry for the Browns, but there are some great building blocks there for the future. So let's look at the positive, guys. Yeah? Yeah? Good. The Oakland Raiders at the Tennessee Titans. I found this one of the hardest games to pick this week, but I ended up going with the Titans at home purely because I've been really unimpressed with that Raiders defense. And as I've just been saying to Ollie, I actually think the Titans aren't a bad team on offense. Marcus Mariota, he's 500 yards through the first 2 weeks, four touchdowns, two interceptions. I know against the Lions, they struggled a little bit. And that was a weird game with all the holding penalties. It was a total mess. I think DeMarco Murray looked impressive against the Lions. Derrick Henry looks the more talented of the two backs. They've got some decent receivers in there as well. Tarjay Sharps looked good through 2 weeks. I just actually think they're going to have too much for the Raiders' defense. And Derek Carr coming into this year, I had some big question marks over Derek Carr. He's looked impressive through 2 weeks, but he's had to sling the ball pretty much constantly. This could end up being quite a high-scoring game, but I think we both fancy a rare occurrence. Titans back-to-back wins. Surely not. That would be ridiculous. The Baltimore Ravens at Jacksonville. We've both taken Jacksonville here, but actually I think that's probably a silly shout. I think we're going to see 2-0-3 teams come to London. Gus Bradley properly remains adamant there's no need to overreact to week two. Incredibly ugly loss in San Diego. The Jags, Bradley's now 12-38 in his 3.5 years of coaching, and it was 38-14 to the Chargers. One of the most brutal performances you've seen. Philip Rivers looked absolutely brilliant through the air. The Ravens probably have had one of the more impressive offenses so far this season that I didn't expect from them. Again, they faced the Browns, so you can't take it for too much. But Mike Wallace looks back to being Mike Wallace again, and they've got plenty of other weapons in there. Dennis Pitta has been brilliant through 2 weeks, 140 yards through the air off 12 receptions. Lots of targets for him as well. Most targeted player on that offense by some distance. I think the Jags could struggle again this week. I'm sorry, Jags fans. I'm sorry, London fans. 2-0-3 teams coming to London. Oof. Washington at the Giants. Both me and Ollie took the Giants in this one. It's simple. Giants defense has looked actually surprisingly good so far this year. I really thought when they brought in Snacks and when they brought in Olivier Vernon and when they brought in the cornerback from the Rams, whose name has just completely escaped me, those are guys who in every single one of them were the second tier guy in their team. You were wondering whether Snacks was such a great run defender because he had the other talent around him. You were wondering if Olivier Vernon only had that phenomenal second half to last season because he had Ndamukong Suh, because he had Cameron Wake on the opposite side of him before the injury. But actually they've looked really impressive. They stop the run really well, and Washington have got basically nothing on the ground at this point. And Washington, who I loved their play design last year, I loved their use of slants, I loved their use of crossing routes and the fact that they would confuse defenses, they've just done none of that this year. Kirk, throw to Jordan Reed on a slant route in the red zone. It worked for you so well last year. Why aren't you doing it this season? We gave that ridiculous stat earlier in the week. I think he's 1 of 8 in the red zone with an interception and no touchdowns. And that needs to improve in a big way if they're going to beat the Giants. And then on the Giants side of the ball, Sterling Shepard, how phenomenal has he been? So impressive. I think NFL.com and around the NFL had him as one of the top slot receivers in the league so far this season. And he just catches absolutely everything thrown his way. He catches it in traffic. He catches it on the run. He's good after the catch. He looks really great. And to have him and Odell Beckham on the same team, moving Victor Cruz outside where he's found a new lease of life. You know, if they can get a half-decent performance out of a tight end week in, week out, Will Tye and Larry Donnell, neither of them really stepping up to the plate, or a half-decent performance out of a running back week in, week out, that offense becomes genuinely terrifying. So both of us are taking the Giants in that one. 49ers, Seahawks. If you need to fix an offense that has only had 15 points through 2 weeks, facing one of the worst teams in the league is probably the best way to do it. I think we've both got this as a heavy Seahawks win. Dallas up against the Bears. That's the late game on Sunday night. Not going to be a huge number of people staying up for that one, are there? Surely? Let us know. Dak Prescott hasn't thrown a touchdown yet. They keep seeming to bowl it in the end zone. And the Bears were willing to give up points for fun against the Eagles on Monday Night Football. They look hurt. They look injured. Lamar Houston went on to injured reserve this week, who's one of my favourite players on that defence. And yeah, I think the Bears look banged up. And I think Dallas late in the in under the lights are going to do that. And then we've both taken the Falcons to beat the Saints. I just think the Falcons are a better football team, top to bottom. Matt Ryan has been great so far this year, but Matt Ryan always looks great at the start of the year. He's had an easy schedule so far. I expect him to regress back to being an average top, an average franchise quarterback. So as average as that can be. But I think we both fancy that against that Saints defense, they should have no problem whatsoever. I know I'm speaking on Ollie's behalf a lot, but we didn't want to ignore any of your teams. So thank you as always for listening. And just one final thing from us this week then. It's week three. Your fancy teams have been decimated by injury. Seven top running backs went down last weekend. We've had receivers, Corey Coleman, Keenan Allen, so many of them going out as well. What you need is some advice from Neil Dutton, one of the top fantasy writers in the UK, and his fantasy darlings.
If you'd paid a trip to a bookies before the start of the season and said after 2 weeks an NFC South quarterback will be the leading point scorer in fantasy football after 2 weeks, you probably wouldn't have got very long odds. If, however, you'd said it won't be Cam Newton or Drew Brees or even Jameis Winston, but Matt Ryan, you may be walking away with a little bit of coin in your pocket. Ryan has passed for 730 yards, 3 touchdowns and 1 interception so far. His reward for his fine start to the season is a divisional game against the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are losing cornerbacks quicker than I wish I could lose weight. They have allowed 687 passing yards so far, which is the fourth most in the league this season. In his career against the Saints, Ryan has 4,523 passing yards and 24 touchdowns, his most against any team. He's also rushed 40 times for 132 yards, or Adrian Peterson numbers. Tyrod Taylor is going up against an Arizona Cardinals team that has allowed less than 10 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks through 2 games. This is the third fewest. Taylor had a decent fantasy game against the New York Jets last time out, but most of his production came on big plays on busted coverage. I doubt Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu et al. Will be quite so accommodating. In the sunny city of San Diego, the beams are glowing brightly on Melvin Gordon. After a disastrous rookie season through 2 games this year, he has 159 rushing yards and 3 scores. He is also the lead back now that Danny Woodhead has torn his ACL, joining Keenan Allen and Brandon Oliver in the club. The only real competition for carries and catches in San Diego for Gordon is Andre I Run Into Walls Williams and some bloke called Farrow. Never heard of him. He has a matchup this week, Gordon that is, against an Indianapolis Colts team that has allowed 236 rushing yards and 155 receiving yards to running backs this season, first in the league. Latavius Murray, the lead back of the Oakland Raiders, has 2 50-yard rushing games this season so far and a touchdown in each. However, he's going up against a Titans team that, despite their head coach, is no joke on defense. They've allowed fewer than 10 fantasy points per game to running backs, which is the fewest in the league. They've also allowed the third fewest rushing yards to running backs. In the receiving game, we travel back in time to 2010 when Mike Wallace was actually relevant, but he's relevant again. He's had 12 targets this season, he's snaffled 7 of them with 3 touchdowns for 132 yards, 16.9 yards per reception. He's going up against a Jacksonville Jaguars team that is tied with the Bucs and the Raiders with 5 TDs allowed to wide receivers, with the Ravens ranking 23rd in rushing yards and 10th in pass attempts, and Flacco saying he's going to continue to feed Wallace. He's a very, very decent shout this week. When it comes to wide receivers to give a rest this week, it may be time to introduce Kevin White to your bench, if you haven't already done so, or maybe letting him run free in the wild. His quarterback for the foreseeable future is Brian Hoyer. Despite a what looks on paper decent matchup against the Dallas Cowboys, White has shown precious little to indicate he is even ready to be on an NFL field, let alone contribute at a high enough level to make him worthy of my attention.
Top stuff. Thank you, as always, Neil Dutton, the fantasy darlings. We'll be back next week. Take his advice. He's normally bang on. Do give us, drop us a line over the weekend at Gridiron on Twitter. We love to hear from you there. We'll be back on Monday with Tuesday morning with a show. Being back on Monday Night Football as well. And just, you know, tell a friend. Rate us online. Give us some love, because we do love it when you do just that. Thank you so much for listening. Love you. Bye. This has been the one man late in the year game. I hope that wasn't too awkward or bad. Good night, show.
At Asda, get all your Welsh favourites, like a 350-gram pack of Collier's Powerful Welsh Cheddar, was £3, now £2. And six Braces Welsh Cakes, get two packs for just £1.50. St David's Day worthy at celebratory prices. Don't compromise. Asda. Save money. Live better. Selected stores subject to availability. Welsh Cakes, Wales only. £1.10 per pack.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.